Episode 184, BulaNetwork.com. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at BulaNetwork.com. Today, episode 184, an empty tank gives you the chance to fill up with better fuel. Let's talk about it next. Here at Builder Network, we are all about getting new customers, serving customers better, and not going crazy in the process. It's the last one that's really difficult. Well, truth be told, they're all difficult. It's all difficult. But that doesn't mean it can't be done. That doesn't mean that you can't do it. Today is a bit of an introspective look because I've been asked in the last 2 to 3 weeks or so, I've been asked by people to recount my story, and at the risk of sounding self-serving, and I don't want to come across that way, and I don't mean that, but it dawned on me in this whole craft of storytelling that what we like is we like stories of redemption, and we like stories of people overcoming adversity, and we can't much relate to people that don't have adversity because, well, we all do. I was watching some, I don't know, there was some movie that was on. It was in the middle of the night, so, you know, you don't tend to get the best programming. Doesn't come on in the middle of the night. And it was a story of, you know, some friends that hadn't seen each other in a while. And upon their reunion, you know, they did what probably a lot of people do. They put on the front. They put on the facade. They were interested in making sure that they were driving the right car and wearing the right clothes and kept up the facade for the better part of the movie. And then toward the end, the harsh reality came to light. And that is, things aren't always as they seem. These people all had incredible difficulties, and here they were having spent most of their time together, basically lying to each other. And it was pretty, I don't know, it resonated with me in the sense of this whole storytelling thing and our propensity to be attracted to people that we can relate to, people that, hey, they went through some struggles, they went through some trials, and they came out successfully on the other side, and so perhaps we can too, and there's hope in that. And we like those kinds of stories, and for good reason. We can relate. So today with episode 184, I'm just going to tell you, I quit. Well, I quit again, not for the first time. And it is doubtful that it will be my last time. I have invested 40 years in sharpening my business building skills. And to be very frank, you just don't survive 4 decades doing much of anything if you suck at it. Now just surviving doesn't mean that you're great at it either. But I was both a survivor and I had my moments of greatness. Careers normally, at least I don't know anybody who has had one, and I certainly did not have a career that had that ideal hockey stick curve. You know what that is. It kind of starts off slow and then it has the sharp trajectory straight up like a hockey stick. That's the curve that we all want. You know, we want that upward trajectory part. We don't much want that flat part at the bottom, and we don't much care about that curve because we need the curve to happen a lot sooner. My career was not a hockey stick curve. I'm betting yours wasn't either. A lot of ups and downs. Mostly, though, I would say that the overall trajectory was favorable. Favorable. Because accomplishment, that's what was the driver for me. The income never was. I was highly compensated because I was always a faithful steward. I was a faithful steward to every man who hired me. And, well, I was great at running their business, so they didn't have to. And that was my personal business model that I had fallen into in my early 20s. And it remained my business model until I quit. Well, for the first time, I quit. And that was back in the spring of 2008. And it was following a really tough 3-year period where I ran the business full time while simultaneously trying to buy the business, mainly so that I could convert it into an ESOP, an employee stock ownership plan run company. Now, running the company and working feverishly to make a deal, I just don't mind telling you that just exhausted me. I chalked it up to just being in an all-out sprint for over 3 years. I mean, come on, that would exhaust anybody. When I finally made the decision that I was no longer going to chase the buyout because it was elusive. It was just like this never going to be realized kind of a dream. I finally hunkered down to really focus on my role of leading the company. And I thought that would re-energize me. We had done some good work for nearly 20 years, and the company had a stellar reputation. The company had a unique place in the Dallas retail landscape, and there was a lot to be proud of. And so I just put my head down to push our company's accomplishments to some new levels. And after almost 9 months of really intense efforts to, as Stephen Pressfield says, to just do the work, I realized how miserable I was, and I was simply sick of the game. I would describe the tank at that point was pretty much fumes only. And that was really a first for me because I had never experienced anything quite like that before. Not really. I mean, being tired is one thing. We've all been tired, being exhausted, been there too. But being empty is just, that's a different sensation altogether. Now, let me tell you, success can foil greater success. And that may not make sense to you, but it did for me. It not only made sense for me, but I could understand it and relate to it. Success can foil greater success. Success can prevent you from doing something different, from doing something better, something perhaps for which you're better suited. Because, as we all know, you can't argue with success. Well, you can, I guess. You can argue with success, but nobody does. And it was success that caused me to run on empty. Because by the spring of 2008, I was 52 years old. I was highly compensated. And every man has his prize. You don't like to think so. But that's probably because you haven't hit yours yet. But trust me, you've got a prize. And it may not be money, by the way. It doesn't have to be money. I had been running on empty for too long. We've all done it. We've all done it. We've kept going. We're tired. We're exhausted. Maybe we are a little bit empty. And we keep going. And we keep going. And we keep going. And we're watching this needle slowly, well, or quickly descend down toward the E for empty. And we just grow more anxious, you know. We're on this lonesome highway, and it's in the middle of the night, and we look around, and there is no sign of civilization anywhere. There's no sign of life, and there certainly is no sign of a gas station. And so as we boogie down the highway, running on empty, yeah, panic can ensue. Because we are hoping to see one soon. And then there's this overwhelming relief. We spot signs of life. We spot lights ahead. And when we finally navigate successfully to the pump before our engine dies, this enormous relief. Yeah, we don't care if it's a buck a gallon higher than the last place we saw. Hey, we can get gas. We can fill back up. Other times, you may not have done this, but I certainly have. Other times we run out of fuel on purpose because the fuel that we have really isn't the full fuel that we need or the fuel that we want. For years, I have driven little 4-cylinder high-performance cars that require higher octane fuel, 93 octane fuel. There have been times when I could only find 91 octane fuel, and it's just not the same. And so the sooner I could burn that full tank of 91, the sooner I could refuel with 93. And then I'd be back to the high performance that I wanted and expected. Now, it involved an intentional, purposeful running the tank down to empty. Because when your tank is full of an undesired fuel, you really have to empty it so that you can refill it with what you want. Else you dilute the new 93 octane fuel you're going to put in. Does that make sense at all? I hope so. I hadn't been happy for a very long time, but I was successful and I was responsible. Oh, and there's also this. I wasn't a quitter, at least not yet. Now, serendipity had happened. I hit my ceiling price tag. You know, the details are not important except to tell you that I faced a non-negotiable standard. And most of us have those. We have, well, don't you have some non-negotiable standards? Now, you may not know exactly what they are, but when you're faced with choices, there are some things that you simply won't do. At least I would hope so. I mean, there are some actions that we will not agree to, no matter what's at stake. Some decisions that we will refuse to make. And without so much as a phone call from home or to home, I quit. I resigned. And unlike the gas tank in my car, I was not able to pull up to a pump and just fill it up. I thought I could. I'll freely admit to you, I thought I could find a pump sooner than later and fill back up. But I had never known an empty tank, and I was not prepared, at least not completely. Now, for me, empty meant lost, at least a little bit lost. Okay, a lot lost. And it meant lost for a long time. It meant being lost for years. I mean, here I was, I had devoted my life to management, marketing, and all the stuff involved in building businesses, and now I couldn't find enough energy to do it, to do much of anything. I did the usual consulting and helping people. Clients would tell me that I helped them, but it was incredibly unrewarding. And I poured myself into it as much as I could. Into their business, into their challenges, into everything that I could to affect improvement in their business. Mostly, it frustrated the soup out of me. And so then fast forward to December of 2012, and I'm sensing the tank is empty. I'm not sensing that I've done a very good job at all of trying to refill the tank from the spring of 2008. And here I am now in the winter of 2012, and I'm just continually sensing that the tank is empty, and I am sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I am frustrated. At the time, I'm frustrated with a client, my largest client, who was determined to be miserable, who was determined. His daily battle cry was really simple. It's never going to be any better. Yeah, you know, I mean, how many times can you hear that? Yeah, right. Me neither. And it was making me miserable. And so I fired myself, or him. Doesn't matter how you want to view it. But again, I quit. I wished him well, and I began this quiet, unannounced hiatus while I searched for my next move. That's December 2012. Now, by the time we get to May the 12th of this year, May 12th, 2013, by the time that day rolls around, and it had been coming for months, but in the early morning hours, I got a text, and it was a text that I had been expecting, but it didn't make it any easier to read, and it was only a two-word text, and all it said was, "He's gone." I've said and I've written about it, and there's a link in the show notes that you can find here to episode 184. And you can read it for yourself. I'd love to tell you that running on empty was fully intentional, but it wasn't. It wasn't. It just happened. Now, in part, it happened because of my own foolishness. In part, because it's a stage of life that I'm going through, that I went through, still am in, probably in the throes of it. And it probably has more to do with experience than age, but I'm not really sure about that. It has everything to do with coming to grips with important issues that everybody faces. It has to do with contribution, with service, passing it on, helping and making a difference. And it has to do with figuring things out. Because finding answers is tough work. Really tough work. And finding good answers, well, that's just harder still. Finding great answers? Okay, you're just ratcheting up the stakes even higher, and it's even harder. So we can find adequate answers. We can work even harder and find good answers. And we can bust our hump, and we can hopefully have a little bit of good fortune and some serendipity along the way. And maybe in time we can find a few great answers. But, you know, I find that it's that way with habits, too. I mean, it doesn't matter if we're trying to change something temporarily or if we're trying to change something permanently. It's tough to shake things up. I have talked before about this TV program that I'm admittedly addicted to, extreme weight makeover, or I don't know, it's extreme something. And it has to do with, you know, this trainer, you know, and he takes people on for a year, and I mean, they lose hundreds and hundreds of pounds. I mean, these are people that weigh north of 400 pounds many times, and drastic changes because they need to change their habits. And his goal for them, and oftentimes I think surely they set out with the goal to make these changes not temporary, but to make them permanent, to incorporate these things in a part of their life. And it's tough work. It is tough work. They have to completely shake things up. They can't keep doing what they've been doing. That's how they got to be 414 pounds. I mean, they've got to do something very different. It means avoiding some things. It means reducing some things. It means eliminating some things. And it means starting some new things. It's been almost 4 months since the funeral. The event of May the 12th, 2013, was the death of my best friend. And it's been almost 4 months since his funeral. And I am starting to feel normal again, kinda, sorta. I mean, I can put it this way. There are more days are easier than hard. And I guess that's progress. And so now what? Now what? You know, for me, I think now it's time to create art again. Something that I really haven't done since I was a teenager. I think it's time to give more again, something that I have done my entire life. But it's time to shake it up. It's time to shake it up. And I think we all need that sometimes. I had a Skype call this morning with some people on another part of the globe, a connection that I was, you know, quite happy to make. And as my wife and I get on a Skype call with another couple who live in another country and have a very different life because of the culture in the society in which they live versus the one where we live here in Dallas, Fort Worth. And as the four of us were having this conversation and as we were trying to provide just, I don't know what it ended up being, probably more cheerleading than anything, to just urge them on, to just urge them to press on and keep going and fight for their dreams. And as they did the same for us, by the way, I kept, I kept thinking about them and looking at their situation, and I kept thinking about my wife and I and our situation, and thinking how so desperately sometimes we all need to just shake it up. We just need to shake it up. It's time to do some things differently. Now, for me, I jotted down just a few things that this means. Will I make good on all of this? We'll see. We'll see. And I'm free to confess if I falter on any of these. But for me, it means this. It means checking Facebook no more than twice daily. Not that I do it a whole lot, but I probably do it more than twice daily. Now, there are some business reasons that I do it for a client. So I'm not sure about this one, but yeah, we'll see. Checking Twitter no more than twice daily. That's probably not hard, because that's probably about what I do now. The next one's going to be really hard. Checking email no more than three times daily. I don't know why that's hard. There is a... is it called Unroll Me? I'm thinking it is. I'll have to look. It basically is this tool that will go through your email and determine, you know, how many emails you get and kind of how you behave with it, so that you can basically get a grip on all the junk that you get. I don't mean stuff that hits your spam folder. I mean stuff that gets beyond your spam folder. Pretty interesting. Some pretty interesting results. But checking email no more than three times a day. Write something, anything, every single day. You know, I wrote that down, and that's not hard. In fact, I told in this conversation that we had this morning on Skype with this couple, I made a comment that I don't think there's been a day since I've known how to write. If there has, I can't remember. I can't remember a day where I didn't write something. Now, not for publication, but just something. I write all the time. This next one, I'm going to have to work at this one. Not because I find it difficult, but it's just one of those things. We have these habits we develop, and I'm not in the habit of this, and that is taking photographs of something, anything, every single day. Well, okay, with my iPhone, I took a picture earlier of Rhonda went and grabbed his panda. Are you a Panda Express fan? Man, I am. So she grabs some panda for lunch, and the fortune in my fortune cookie said, "Quality counts, and you've got it." Little known fact, I collect these. I collect these fortunes. I've got a little glass, and it's got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these things. No, I don't put any stock in those. Are you kidding? I don't take them seriously, but I find them mildly entertaining. I took a picture of that, posted it on Facebook. Okay, so there's my Facebook quota for the day. But there you have it. I took a photograph. Talking with somebody about something emotional. Talking with somebody about something emotional. Happy, sad, frustrating, thrilling. You get the idea. Every single day. I've done that today, I can tell you. Reading fiction regularly. I don't know how your reading habits are. If your reading habits are like mine go in kind of spurts and cycles, and I will get on a fiction campaign, and I'll just, you know, it's kind of all I'll read. It's a little bit analogous to, have you seen people, because... I've done this. In fact, I probably still do it. People that sit down with a plate of food, and there's, you know, maybe let's say there's four items on the plate, and you eat each item one at a time. You eat all of one item, then you eat all of the next item. I do that. I'm not saying I do it regularly, but I have done it, and I do it. Fiction is kind of that way for me. I'll get on this crusade, and I'll read fiction, and that's all I'll consume. But I need to read fiction more regularly than I do now. Reading biographies regularly. This next one is going to be tough. I don't mind telling you, and it's probably why I put it. Well, it is why I put it down. Avoiding books, articles, blog posts, podcasts, or videos that are all about business and only business. True confession. That one's going to be a little bit tough, but I need to do it. The next one's probably going to be tough too, because I do a lot of it already, and that is listening to more music. You know, when you listen to a lot of music, why do I want to listen to more? I just do. Here's one that'll fool you. Singing more. Why don't people sing more? I mean, who cares if we're world class or not? I mean, why don't people sing more? I don't know. They don't. I don't mean karaoke. I mean, just sing for singing's sake. When I was doing a lot of driving, because I had to commute to my office in Dallas, and when you spend 30 minutes or so in the car one way, or 45 minutes, and you're killing time. I've been known to sing with the radio and stuff, but you know, now that I don't commute anywhere except to the Yellow Studio, which is just feet down the hall, need to sing more. Here's a big one. Cause I used to do this all the time, but I don't anymore. And that's drawing. Friends in high school were convinced I was going to be a cartoonist. Yeah, that didn't work out. And I've talked about it before. And one of the reasons that I didn't, and this has always stuck with me. And, I tell you a program that it has resonated with me, because I've heard a few people say this, who do you think you are anyway, or something like that. It's one of these genealogy shows. You may have seen it. It's been on various networks. The thing just, it's clearly sponsored by Ancestry.com, but it's a well done show. And I don't know, it's on TLC or something, but anyway, hopefully even a better network. Isn't that the Honey Boo Boo show? I mean, this whole, the last episode was Jim Parsons, the guy that plays on Big Bang Theory. The really super nerdy guy. He's funny as all get out. It was about him. And the whole time on the show, they've got this huge overlay on the screen in the upper right-hand corner, you know, promoting the Honey Boo Boo, you know, the next season or whatever. And I'm like, you know, really? I mean, we've got to keep this thing up the entire time. Really annoying. But I've watched some episodes of that show, and it's been interesting to watch, especially because it's of celebrities, right? I mean, we're not going to watch it if it's just Joe Blow. I mean, you're not going to watch it if it's a show about my heritage. Who cares? But these are name people, you know, they're musicians, actors, they're famous people. And it's been interesting because I've noticed in a few of them, they talk about diving into whatever their craft is. And part of the difficulty being that they didn't know anybody who did that for a living. You know, the person that wants to be an actor, by and large, most of these people didn't grow up in houses where there were actors running around. It's like, we don't know anybody that makes a living that way. You know, dad doesn't make a living that way. Mom doesn't make a living that way. Mom and dad don't have friends that make a living that way. And so it's really hard for us to relate to. And that's one of the really difficult things about, especially I think, the creative stuff is, do we know people that do that? And if you're so responsible and practical like I am, you just kind of talk yourself out of it. Well, for me, that was art. I interviewed one cartoonist in my life, and that was for I don't remember if it was a junior high project or an elementary school project. I'm thinking it was junior high. And I happened to be living in a town that was large enough at the time, and we're going back into the, late 60s. And there was a cartoonist on staff at the newspaper. He mainly did political kinds of cartoons. But the project was to find somebody who's doing what it is you think you want to do for a living and interview that person. Well, he was it. I couldn't find anybody. And in a town of a couple, 300,000 people, there's one guy doing it. I mean, I was smart enough to realize those aren't great odds. This probably is not going to work out for me to be a cartoonist. Friends in high school thought that I would probably end up doing something along those lines. It didn't work out. And I'll tell you flat out, that's primarily the reason. I didn't know anybody who did that. So what does that career path even look like? Who knows? I certainly didn't. Picking up my guitar for the first time with purposeful intention. Now, here's the deal. Man, I do need to do this, and this is going to be hard. I love guitars. I don't know how to play one, but I need to learn to play 5 chords. G, D, C, A, and E. G, D, C, A, and E. I just want to learn those 5 chords. And I know some guys who can probably teach me that. I just need to... This is one of those things where you just need to back your ears and do it. Is there something like that that you've always wanted to do? I mean, I have gone on record, I have owned guitars for over 30 years. Imagine this. Why? I love them. I love them. I love to hear them. I like to look at them. I just think they're awesome. But I've never learned to play one. So picking up my guitar for the first time with purposeful intention and learning 5 chords, G, D, C, A, and E. If you're a guitar player and you can help me out, hey, please, Twitter, at Randy Cantrell. Relaunching the podcast over at Leaning Toward Wisdom. Hey, Eureka, I've done that. I can check this one off. I did this. And I'm not terribly regular at it, not yet, but you'll find, I don't know, what are there? There's 3 or 4 shows over there at Leaning Toward Wisdom, and I've got some others planned, so that's working out. Hey, here's another one. Interviewing at least 3 people a week for the project Chasing DFW Cool. DFW stands for Dallas-Fort Worth, in case you didn't know. Hey, I've already smoked that goal. And I started this, by the way, just a week ago. Is that right? No. Check that. I started that this week. I started it this week, and I am already past 5, and I got more on the schedule. ChasingDFWCool.com. Yeah, go check it out. Now, you're going to be more interested in it if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but this is a city of 6.5 million people. This is the number 5 media market in the country. There's some people here doing some cool stuff. And I've told the people that have been on the show so far, and I haven't released it yet. I'm still working on the website and some other stuff, but I get to determine who's cool. That was one of the first questions somebody asked. Said, well, you know, Chasing DFW Cool. I'm flattered that you think, you know, what I do is cool and that I'm cool. But I mean, how does that work? And I said, I get to decide my show. I get to pick. Pretty easy. If people don't like it, they can start their own show. Intently focus more, and this is going to be hard because I do this so much. This sounds bragging, but I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. Intently focus more on paying clients. That's going to be hard because I have always been an all-in kind of guy with people who hire me to help them. But I put it down anyway because I still want to try to up my game. I still don't want to be satisfied with, you know, where I'm at with everything. And by the way, it is that last thing. It's the last thing that's the professional thing. And I say professional as opposed to business for a reason. Because, you know, I have no idea about making money with it. It's not the point. And I don't even care about it. But those paying clients, you know, we've all got to make a living. But it's then as we move, you know, to the next to the last thing, that Chasing DFW thing that I'm launching, people have said, oh, well, what's the goal? What's the plan? You know, and I said, I'm doing it because I want to do it. I'm doing it because I know I can do it and I think I can do it well. You know, are the first ones going to be gangbusters? I don't know. I'm going to get better at it. I'm still trying to figure out exactly kind of how I want to roll with it. But I just know that there are tons of people in this area, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, doing some cool things. There are people all over the planet doing cool things, but I happen to be here. Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas is home. And what I want to do is I want to tell their stories. So there you have it. I'm determined to fill my tank with high octane fuel. And I'm just like you. I have to make a living. Now, thankfully, that doesn't take a whole lot these days. You know, I've got one client who gets all of my business focus. And that's kind of really been how I purposefully roll. You know, as a guy that really is kind of in the business of CEO coaching, it's typically one or two people. You know, one or two people, that pays the bills. And beginning with this year, I turned everything else loose. I just let everything else go because I thought it was the wise thing to do. And as it turns out, I think so. As it turns out, I think so. In the meantime, I'm going to be running on better fuel than I have run on in a long, long time because it is fuel that gives me more energy. It is fuel that gives me more horsepower. It's for sure fuel that gives me greater thrills. And I'm not doing it with any thought about money. And, I'm doing that because I can. I've spent 40 years running on the fuel of business building. And I have found some success, and I figure I'm smart enough that what I don't know about any new adventure, I will figure out as I go eventually. And like you, I'll do it as I go because that's how I roll. Well, it's how I've decided to roll. Hey, what about you? What about you? What's in your tank right now? Is your tank running on empty? Do you need to fill it with some better fuel? Do you need to kind of rethink some things, pull back, jettison a few things, change some habits? No time like the present. Get busy with it. Hey, I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast. You can do that by clicking the iTunes or the Stitcher icon over at Bula, BULANetwork.com. Bula is a Fiji term that means life. In particular, it means life is good. I think it is. And so, hey, in 97, I named my company after that term, Bula. Bula to you. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com. This is the Yellow Studio.